Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Glad to have you with us on a Friday, and it could be an important Friday for IU basketball. Anthony Leal of Bloomington South, we've been previewing and talking about him all week. He makes his college decision later today is what we believe. Later this evening, we are told, is the plan. He'll just simply announce it on social media. Will it be Indiana, the hometown school? Will it be high academic Stanford? We had Anthony on a few weeks ago when he cut his list to two. We had Coach J.R. Holmes, his Bloomington South coach, on, I thought, for just a real candid and spectacular interview that he gave us earlier in the week. And, of course, Anthony's been a regular conversation piece with our IU experts, as we call them, that join us each day on the program. So will Indiana add another in-state player to the 2020 recruiting class? Will Archie Miller's luck and success in the state continue? And quite honestly, will Indiana's run on Mr. Basketballs in the state of Indiana continue? Because likely, at least going into the season, you have to think that Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway are probably 1-2 in some order for that postseason award that's still very meaningful. And Indiana has really cleaned up here recently with Indiana's Mr. Basketball, which you would think would be Indiana's top player in that class. So that's interesting to look at as well. Again, the announcement Alex Bozich mentioned yesterday, he did text with Anthony Leal earlier in the week. He plans to make it on social media, and he thought the announcement would come sometime later this evening. So big stuff if Indiana can add another in-state player, and I think you got to assume after that, at least in the 2020 class, the further activity that there could be as far as commitments later this fall or whenever they come down would likely be from some out-of-state guys if Indiana adds to the class, and I would expect that they might. So interesting stuff today. I know a lot of you will be locked in on your social media following Anthony Leal, waiting for a word if he picks the Hoosiers or if he picks Stanford, and we'll have all the fallout for you, of course, Monday when we rejoin you at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report. The other big news today before we even get into the show, we can feel that the 2019-2020 season is just a little bit closer because Indiana announced officially yesterday the date for 2019 Hoosier Hysteria. It'll be Saturday, October 5th, obviously at Assembly Hall, and it's a 4 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock event, I should say. That is the not the first day that the teams can begin practice, obviously. There used to be a time when Hoosier Hysteria, of course, the rules were different and practices started later, but there used to be a time when, you know, Hoosier Hysteria was like a midnight event, which was always on the day, the midnight, the morning that practices could officially start in college basketball. That obviously is a lot different now. The first day that they can officially begin practice is September 24th, which is a Tuesday. That is almost exactly 6 weeks before. It is exactly 6 weeks before the start of the regular season, which is Tuesday, November 5th. For admission to Hoosier Hysteria on October 5th, it's just a donation of a canned food item, which is donated to the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. And, of course, Indiana, no home football game the weekend of Hoosier Hysteria. That's been kind of a common theme recently. Go to the football game, make your way over to Assembly Hall across the parking lot. Once the football game comes to a close for Hoosier Hysteria, obviously this year Indiana has a bye week that week, and so there will be no football. So it'll fill a void in a non-football weekend. We'll have Hoosier Hysteria to talk about, think about, and break down as we head into that week as well. And, of course,
Hoosier Hysteria is fun. I mean, it's a fan event. It's really fun, I would imagine, for kids. Last year's was amazing how they did the graphics on the court. And, of course, there was all sorts of excitement in the air with Romeo Langford entering the program. It was one of the most technology-advanced Hoosier Hysterias that I've ever seen, maybe by far the most. We'll see what they can pull out of their magic hat, their trick hat this year. But obviously, no matter what happens on the floor with some contest and some scrimmaging, which seems to be shorter and shorter most years nowadays, but no matter what happens with any of that, the big day, the big story that we'll talk about the most is the recruiting opportunity that Hoosier Hysteria is. It is just, I don't know that there's another one like it with that passionate of a fan base to bring their players in. I think Kentucky's preseason event, Big Blue Madness, is probably at that level, maybe beyond it. I don't know. But it's one of the few preseason events in college basketball that you could probably bring a recruit to from any part of the country, and they'd say, I would have to consider playing for these type of fans in this type of environment if this is how they are for a preseason practice or scrimmage, basically, a short scrimmage at that. So big recruiting weekend. You can expect that the committed guys, whether it be at that point just Trey Galloway or maybe Anthony Leal comes in the fold later today, as we've already discussed. Maybe there's a couple more by that point. Who knows how this recruiting stuff will shake out. But one thing you can bet on, there will be a lot of targets there. Wouldn't surprise me if there were some official visits that coincided from some 2020 guys IU's after with that weekend. And one thing you can bet on, Indiana probably already hard at work making sure they have all the young talent in the state and others that they've watched this summer with an invite to Hoosier Hysteria, because it is really an opportunity for the youngsters, especially, to get a great feel for the IU program. So the date is set, October 5th, Saturday, 4 o'clock at Assembly Hall. Going to be a lot of fun. It's always a fun day. And just the date being set tells me that the season is closer. It's still many months away, still lots to do before we get to that point. But once we finally get to Hoosier Hysteria in October, you know you've almost made it with no real basketball, and you're getting close in to the college hoops season. So big stuff coming there, and Hoosier Hysteria, the date at least, is now official. Before we get into the full show, I do want to mention also what a great time last night at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville. We had the 2019 High School Football Media Day for all eight programs in Clark and Floyd counties. Providence couldn't join us live because of Coach Sartini's funeral visitation that took place last night, his funeral just now earlier this morning. But all eight programs with us in some form or fashion. The other seven live with their head coaches. We had a couple key players, two to three key players from each area program. Learned a lot about the upcoming season. I felt like it was one of the best shows we've had. The News and Tribune was there. They did a lot of interviews, videos, things that you'll be able to follow in the newspaper coming up here between now and the start of the high school football season. We even had Kendrick Haskins of Wave 3. He was there shooting some video of the kids. Got some interviews with players and coaches as well. Probably, hopefully made his job previewing Southern Indiana High School football a little easier. But that's what we want to do. That's why we changed the name from the kickoff show to the media day. It's not just about the Big X. It's about the newspaper. It's about TV stations. And more so, it's about making sure that the area has an opportunity, whether it's a media outlet or a fan, to come hear from the great coaches and dedicated coaches we have and some of the great players we have as well. And I'll be honest, football in this area, it can use all the boost it can get. There are not the games that are sold out at times, the rivalry games that you see in basketball. And there have been some good matchups that have come off the docket. Jeffersonville Providence a few years ago, and now New Albany Providence, no longer going to be the opener in week one of high school football. So that takes away, I think, from the fan experience and from some of the fun moments early on with student sections involved and great crowds from the communities. And we have good crowds at times for high school football games, but we want to do all we can to make sure that we're promoting the players and the coaches and the teams, because we're proud of this area. And last night was a lot of fun to hear about all the programs. You've got programs that obviously are well-established, with coaches like Jason Hawkins at Charlestown that have been there for many years, and then have a Division I player in Marion Lukes, who was great to talk to last night. Then you've got, you know, a program like Rock Creek that has only been eligible. This is only year two that they're going to be able to play postseason football. And so to go from one coach to another, from a program that's really just officially getting started to one that's been around for a while and had some success, to go from a first-year head coach, we had three new coaches join us last night, the first time they've ever sat down at the table with us at Zaxby's in that manner to talk about their team and to see them and how they will develop as well over the next couple of years. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you missed the show last night, we'll occasionally, between now and the start of the season, we're going to play back some of the coaches and the segments here on the Hoosier Report on certain days. But we will also, the full podcast is also available as well. So if you go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, you'll be able to find the podcast. And it's on all of our social media stuff as well. So make sure you check it out. You can fast forward through the teams that maybe you're not interested in, but or listen to the ones that you want to. But it's up there, so make sure you check it out. All sorts of details from all the coaches. And it's, I thought last night, I told Lee Kelly this when we got done, I thought the players, the crop of players we had last night as far as how well-spoken they were, good answers, not given one word, quick rebuttals, very good stuff. So make sure you check out the program if you didn't have a chance to be with us last night live, or if you haven't had a chance to listen already. Let's get into the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have a couple quick Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In those headlines, some interesting stuff on the all-time rating. I shouldn't say all-time, but going back to 1997, KenPom with some really advanced analysts, we'll call it, of college rankings and programs since 1997. We'll talk about that. Also, former Hoosier Robert Johnson, he's going to play some overseas pro ball, so we can chat about that a little bit as well coming up here in just a few moments in our first segment. Later in the program, Drew Davis is going to join us. Drew obviously keeps a close eye on IU basketball and recruiting, and he'll be with us in segment number two today. There's a lot to talk about this time of year with recruiting. We'll cover all that, including some discussion on upcoming Hoosier Hysteria and how that and why that is such a big recruiting event for IU basketball as well. Then later in the program, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We'll continue to talk some recruiting and some other basketball things. Little high school football with Kyle as well as we get close to scrimmages and also the start of the regular season coming up on August 23rd. And then later in the program, I think we may have some time today to bring you Jeffersonville coach Isaac Parker from last night. We'll have a 7 or 8 minute clip of what he had to say about Jeffersonville football last night from our Zaxby show, the 2019 high school football media day. Let's jump in. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report. You get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, now let's jump into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Anthony Lille, we've talked a lot about it this week. I'm not sure that anybody has brought you the interviews and some of the coverage, almost like the pregame coverage leading up to his decision later today, that we have talking with a number of different IU media types, talking with his high school coach, and, of course, talking with Anthony a few Fridays ago when he narrowed his list down to IU and Stanford. And a few Fridays ago, I felt like this recruitment could maybe last for a while, that it could go on for a while. And then, of course, later that day, Trey Galloway committed to Indiana. Is that a reason that maybe things have sped up for Anthony Lille? Is that maybe why he's following suit with an announcement today? We'll have to see. Alex Bozich is reporting now that the decision, the announcement from Lille, is expected to come at approximately 4:30 p.m. today via Lille's Twitter account. So I'll tell you how to follow that a little bit later in the program. But that obviously is the big deal today. Does Anthony Lille choose Indiana, or does he make a tough decision, spurn the hometown program, and go way far to the west to Stanford? So we'll see, but a lot of people thinking Indiana. Nothing official, though, until he makes that announcement later today. KenPom.com, one of my favorite sites. Ken Pomeroy has a great angle on college basketball with his ratings and stats. Indiana, in his program ratings, all data since 1997, he takes a look at the as far as the formula, and I don't have the exact formula, But he takes a look at the best season, the worst season of all Division I teams. He takes a look at the median ranking on his site over the years, championships, Final Four, Sweet 16s, and just simply making round one of the NCAA tournament. Indiana, going back to 1997, is a score of plus 22.97, which is good enough for a number 18 overall ranking. So a top 20 program, according to this great statistical breakdown from Ken Pomeroy, since 1997 in college basketball. That might be higher, honestly, than what some would put it, but still a good score, a steady score for Indiana, steady ranking for Indiana to be in the top 20 of college hoops. Now, some of you obviously will not be happy with a top 20. You'd like to see it be top 10 or top 5. Obviously, a lot of work, a lot of Final Fours, some championships as well needed to get into that range. Duke 1, Kentucky 2, Kansas 3, North Carolina 4, Arizona 5 in those program ratings since 1997 using data. Highest Big Ten school, Michigan State, they were at number 6, Louisville at number 8. Ohio State was the second highest Big Ten school, coming in at number 11, Maryland at number 14, Wisconsin at number 16, Virginia, the defending national champion, at number 17, and then, of course, Indiana, number 18, Purdue, just outside of the top 20, at number 21. You can check these out at kenpom.com. Also, Robert Johnson, former IU player, he's going to play professional basketball overseas in the Polish Basketball League. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the franchise, the team that he's going to play for in the PBL. But Robert Johnson, another Hoosier, getting paid pretty good money, it looks like, to play in what's a really solid league over in Poland this upcoming season. That's the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Coming up next, Drew Davis will talk some IU hoops, including Hoosier hysteria, a lot of IU recruiting, and we'll tie those two together because Hoosier hysteria, as I mentioned earlier, and it's a known fact, it's just a huge recruiting day for IU basketball and for the program. So that will be, I think, a showcase of who's who from in-state younger classes especially, and no telling who else Indiana will be able to bring in for that event. But we'll talk about all that and more coming up next. Drew Davis joins the show after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday program. Drew Davis is going to join us here in moments. But first, the Boston Celtics just announced their preseason basketball schedule, October 6th. That may be the first time we see Romeo Langford in a Boston Celtics uniform. The Celtics are scheduled to host Charlotte in a 6 o'clock game. Their second game, preseason game, October 4th, they will play on the road at Orlando, then back on October 13th for a game against the Cavaliers at home, and then they'll play the Cavaliers on the road October 15th. So four preseason games for the Celtics. Again, that could be your first opportunity to see Romeo Langford, A, in a Celtics uniform, and B, back out on the court after some months of not being out there and missing summer league out in Vegas as he recuperates from surgery on his thumb. Drew Davis is with us. We talk IU recruiting a lot with Drew when he joins the program today, and obviously Anthony Leal is the big topic right now. He's going to make his decision tonight at 4:30 has been the reported time. He'll announce his college destination on social media, and also Hoosier hysteria. That date was set yesterday, so a couple big things in the recruiting world for IU with how big of a recruiting event that Hoosier hysteria is for the IU basketball program. So let's start with both of those and then get into some specific prospects, Drew. First off, gun-to-head prediction, Anthony Leal to IU or Anthony Leal to Stanford?
I definitely have to go with Anthony Leal to IU, but that's just my humble prediction.
Got it. We'll go with that. I know a lot of IU fans would be happy to see that work out. If Indiana puts Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal in a class together, that really essentially would put the two best players at this point in the 2020 class as they enter their senior year, once again headed to IU as verbal commits and eventually signees of the program, which, and I think most people would think one of those guys is going to be IU Mr. Basketball, or Indiana Mr. Basketball. Let me clear that up. That said, Indiana's had a stronghold on the state and even on the Mr. Basketball award winners now for a number of seasons, and both those guys together, playing together, they've played together in the summer, some travel ball opportunities for a number of years. That would be another in-state, I think, statement from Archie Miller if he can package those guys into the same recruiting class as he's had success the last couple of years in the state as well.
Yeah, it would be. And, you know, you remember back to the first day of the Archie Miller press conference where he made it clear that the state of Indiana was going to be a major priority. And he's certainly done that. As you know, 2018, he added Romeo Lankford, Rob Benedetti, Mazie Anderson, and then last year he added Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin, and now potentially Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway. So he's done what he has said he's going to do, as he has done during his time at Indiana, and I think that bodes well for future recruiting. Obviously, you know, they'd be ideal for Indiana to kind of get that secondary or tertiary area that they can recruit in and have like a, you know, kind of their pipeline there as well, extended outward, as it is nice to have other kids besides Indiana. But, you know, with the talent in this state, you know, it's nice to be able to go back if you're Indiana and have that as your backbone to rely on and be able to build your program with guys that are going to be solid four-year guys and guys that are going to help you get old and stay old, which is the goal of pretty much every coach in today's age of college basketball.
Drew Davis joining us. Drew covers IU basketball and recruiting and is with us time to time here on the Hoosier Report. Hoosier Hysteria was announced as far as the date yesterday, and that's always a fun event for kids mm-hmm. and for fans, and it's a signal that the season is drawing near, which is exciting for sure. But we know the inner workings of that event and how important of a recruiting opportunity that is for Indiana, and a big part of that is because of how passionate and what the great turnout the crowd brings every year for really a preseason event with a lot of hoopla. There's not even that much scrimmaging that really seems to go on anymore, but still it's an opportunity to show Assembly Hall with a lot of people in the stands, a lot of people pumped up and excited about the college basketball season. The IU folks in the athletic department and beyond do a terrific job with the graphics and the sound and everything that goes into making an event more than just some things happening down on the basketball court. And I would think that any recruit from any part of the country with any ranking, national ranking, whatever it may be, if they came to that event as an underclassman, especially before their recruiting was too far down the road, you would have to say, wow, this is a production, and wow, these people here at this university and in this state take basketball ridiculously serious. I may want to consider coming here. With just an unbelievable recruiting tool, Hoosier Hysteria is.
Yeah, and you know, I think back to when you know, Cody Zeller and those guys were there, and how big the hoopla was at Hoosier Hysteria, and just how much people cared about it. And obviously, if you're a recruit going to something like that, that's kind of it's gonna, you know, kind of have you in awe, so to speak. And you know, I think back to my first Hoosier Hysteria I covered as a reporter, which was the Hoosier Hysteria where Romeo Lankford and Darius Garland visited. And I think something that was really, really cool, and I'll never forget about that event, is when they brought the players out across the floor. I don't think they can do that anymore, but I just thought that was something really neat, and the reaction of the crowd to those players, you know, walking to their seats and giving them the ovation. You know, that was definitely something that kind of just jumped out, and, you know, I wasn't necessarily expecting that going into it. And like you said, it should be a production. It should be a recruiting event. I know a lot of people go to Hoosier Hysteria looking for takeaways from the scrimmage about the current team. Well, there's not much to take away from that. It's basically, you know, maybe even less competitive than an open run or an open gym, but you know, I think the best part of it is a recruiting event. You're trying to sell guys and your product. You're trying to show them what you have to offer. And I think you really should focus on that when running your, you know, Midnight Madness type event.
Absolutely. Drew Davis is my guest. It's become a huge event. And, of course, it'll be targeted somewhat with the class of 2020 because those guys are, especially at that point, if they're undecided or pretty far along in their recruiting. So you'll see the most serious guys that are undecided likely at that event. In fact, it would not surprise me if there were some official visits that were scheduled for that weekend. The only thing from an official visit standpoint that doesn't work out for Indiana is there's not a football game, a home football game. There is no football game. It's a bye week for the program that week. However, it will be, I think, it always has been, even under Miller and Crean, a who's who of the young players in the state. I mean, even younger than what we're talking about regularly on this program, and you got to go down really to the sophomore and even freshman class to get beyond players that we're talking about on a consistent basis. That will be, I don't think there's any question, a who's who of Indiana high school basketball's future if things hold par like they have been in recent years.
Oh, for sure. I imagine the IU staff will try to get the, you know, hit heavy on the 2021 guys like Christian Lander, Caleb Hurst, Trey Coffin. Trying to get all three of those guys there will probably be the goal. And we'll see what they do and see if those guys are able to make it. And I imagine that will even trickle down to 2022 and maybe even 2023. So it may not be on the radar yet, but I'd expect to see them try to get Jalen Washington at a talented 2022 with tons of upside from Gary Westside. I'd expect him. I expect IU to try to push to get him there for that. And I think it'll be really interesting to see the group of names they're able to put together and see if they're able to put something together that kind of competes with that 2018 year where they had Lakeford and Garland in attendance, which is about as good as you can get when you're hosting an event.
Drew Davis joining me, talking IU basketball, Hoosier hysteria, and a lot of recruiting stuff. Drew, for people that don't know you personally other than reading your work and maybe following you on social media, you're located in the southwest side of Indiana down by the Evansville area. So one player specifically that I kind of look to for your input, and I know you've covered and talked with and interviewed him extensively over the last year or two, is Christian Lander of Evansville Rights. And he is in my category as far as underclassmen in the state, Christian, Caleb First, and Trey Kaufman from right here in our backyard in this Jeffersonville, New Albany area, is maybe the three hottest underclassmen that took advantage of July and the summer recruiting opportunities in a big way to see scholarship offers more be extended and maybe even to see their recruiting base grow a little bit. And you've had a chance even recently to speak with Christian Lander. He had such a busy summer. He was playing with his AAU team. He was out at USA Basketball. He's had a number of scholarship offers come in since things have slowed down on the court. And also, he's got some big dogs like North Carolina and Kentucky that are expressing interest as well. You know him personally, so maybe a little bit about Christian as a kid, and then also what you've seen from him this summer and how his recruiting has even went to another level with more scholarship offers.
I think the big thing that I've kind of seen Christian evolve with over the last year or so is at first when you meet him, he's kind of a shy kid. And, you know, I just think that his confidence has really grown over the last six to 10 months as he's really, you know, progressed as a player and continued his evolution towards, you know, the upper tier of players in that 2021 class. And he's a kid with a lot of ability, and he's going to have a chance to do some special things due to his ability and the game of basketball. And I think that's something he could, you know, really turn into a special opportunity. And with him as a player, he's a terrific player with the ball. He's twitchy quick. His shots really progressed over the last year. Still can improve there. You know, he showed a little bit of improvement with his decision-making. He still needs to improve on making the moderate to advanced reads, but that's something that a lot of players evolve in as they get more reps, they gain more experience, and they get wiser with age, and that's something that I can see him improving in. And he's going to have a chance to be a really terrific player if he keeps putting in the work and keeps taking the approach he's been taking.
Drew Davis joining us to talk IU basketball and recruiting. I'm right, 4:30 is when Leal has said he would make his announcement. I've seen that a couple places. Is that what you've got the read on?
Yes, I believe that is when he was going to announce. I saw something about 5:30 potentially, but I'm 99% sure it's 4:30.
Okay, got it. Drew Davis. Drew, thanks for the chat today. we'll have you back to follow more of these recruits that you're up to date with in a big way, and appreciate your time.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Drew Davis with us. He covers IU basketball and recruiting, and kind enough to join us and share some of what he knows on our program from time to time. A lot of recruiting stuff, a lot of young activity in our state right now with some of these great players. And I've said it before, high school basketball, man, it's going to be fun, not just this year locally, but across the state from an IU perspective and beyond. But the next couple of years will be really good years. We'll see if there'll be good years for IU recruiting in the state as they've been the last few. But, man, there's going to be some great years of basketball ahead with some really great prospects coming from both Southern Indiana and Northern Indiana as well. That's another thing. You know, Indianapolis always has players. I mean, it's a huge metropolitan area. The population of Metro Indy is just outstanding, and it's growing. But Southern Indiana and Northern Indiana, the last couple years and even into the future seasons, they're putting out a number of big-time prospects as well, which really brings the rest of the state up to par with the Indianapolis, the metropolitan area in the central part of our state. We'll head to a commercial break. Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is next. Don't forget, we also have a replay of Isaac Parker, the new Jeffersonville coach. He gives us a preview on the Jeff football team coming up later in the show as well. Back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. He's with us for a bit today. And, Kyle, lots to get to and not a lot of time. But I want to start with this. I asked the last guest, and I've asked everybody really over the last few days for their input, for their prediction on, A, does Anthony Leal choose Indiana or Stanford? And also, what type of player, what type of fit you see Anthony Leal being at IU and at the Big Ten Conference if he makes that decision later this afternoon to officially become a Hoosier and verbally commit to the program?
Yeah, my prediction would be that he will be a Hoosier, and I would say, you know, having seen him quite a few times, I think, you know, he's not similar, I guess. There's differences between him and Trey Galloway, but sort of like Galloway, you know, Leal just, he does a lot of things well. I think you look at his three-point shooting, and, you know, he shot about 38% last year for Bloomington South. He shot, I think, right around, I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it was about 42% for Indiana Elite during the spring and summer this year. So you look from that perspective, and you know, Indiana, obviously, their three-point shooting was not great last year, so he adds that element, I would think, although it doesn't, you know, it's harder to get those shots in college, of course, but I think that's something he can do. I think it's something he'll do better even. He sometimes, you know, anecdotally seems like he can be a little bit streaky at times, but his overall numbers are really good from the three-point line. So I think he adds that element. I think from an athleticism standpoint, you know, he won't be the quickest or, you know, the most athletic guard around, but he's not bad in that area either. I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a guy who, you know, once he gets in a college weight room, will really benefit from that. And, you know, he's a guy who I think can be a good defender, plays with a good motor. So I think he's plus side in a lot of areas. That the thing I haven't seen him do a ton is handle the ball a lot. But, you know, that's something I think he'll tighten up. And not that he's a bad ball handler. I just, you know, he's not a primary ball handler necessarily for the teams he plays on. So I think that's something he can do. He can do better, you know, as he gets more experience and you know, gets to a college program. But overall, I think just, you know, a lot of plus side. He's clearly a very smart kid when you talk to him. You know, well liked by his teammates. A good guy who will fit in, I think, really well at the next level for his college program, college team. and will be a guy who's respected. And obviously being, you know, assuming he does go to IU, he's a guy who understands IU. His family was season ticket holders. His sister Lauren plays at DePaul University. I think just a lot of, you know, he's been around the game a long time. He's been around the IU for a long time. So, you know, assuming he goes there, there's a lot of things that would lead you to believe that he kind of understands, you know, what it takes there, and or at least has a good knowledge of what that program's all about.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us always on Fridays. I don't want you to give away too much because it's important people subscribe. The Indianapolis Star does a terrific job. Yeah, a lot of it is, you know, Indianapolis-centric when it comes to sports and high school sports, but your coverage, along with Greg Doyle and others from the Star that join this program either weekly or on a somewhat regular basis, there's always some just fantastic coverage. So give as much as you can, and maybe a preview, a tease, which will make somebody subscribe to read this, but a just tremendous piece you wrote on, I believe it was a gentleman from Spain, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name either, but he has recently, and I think currently, is in Indiana, and he and his family are taking an up-close and personal look at some of the things that you and I and fans and people in some of these communities where these great gymnasiums, historical gymnasiums exist, probably take for granted, and I'm guilty of that, I think, at times, too. But this guy coming from across the country to see high school and college gyms in the state of Indiana, gyms that this guy has read about and dreamed about seeing since he was a kid.
Yeah, it turned out to be a really neat story that's kind of even has more legs to it, I guess, than even what I expected, and has gone on throughout this week. And his name's Javier Puertas, and he, when he was 14, he you know, played basketball in Spain. He watched the movie Hoosiers. And something about that movie at that age and you know, living in there in Spain, and it just resonated with him. He's a guy who loves, he's a city planner, so he's kind of into architecture and things like that, heritage, building heritage anyway. And, you know, so as he got older, you know, he wanted to get to Indiana. He researches all these places, like you said, that we kind of take for granted. He had when I met him at the Hall of Fame on Monday, and I followed him around Tuesday as well. We went to the Kokomo, Lebanon. He even had places that the movie Hoosiers was shot. He wanted to stop by a barn outside Sheridan, so we stopped there, and you know, he got a picture there. But you know, really, you know, I guess the crux of the story is, you know, this is about the most genuine guy I've ever met in my life. You know, his passion for Indiana basketball is, you know, from a world away, basically. He lives 4,000 miles away, and when he walks into Newcastle Fieldhouse, he was so overcome with emotion, he started crying, you know, and he took his shoes off when he walked on the court. He got down and kind of touched the floor, and, you know, and it was the same, you know, at Lebanon. He knew Lebanon because that's where Ollie took the underhand free throw, you know, or two free throws to win the game in the movie. That's where that was filmed, and he, you know, he knew that. He took the underhand shot, and you know, it was just great. It was so much fun, and you know, even this week, later in the week, you know, I got a call from David Anspaugh, who directed the movie Hoosiers, and you know, I talked to him twice on the phone about this, and you know, he read the story, and you know, he's blown away too that the Hoosiers movie, you know, still has this type of effect, you know, the legs that it has, and it's a never ending thing, and you know, he was really you know, blown away, I guess, by Javier and how he reacted to, you know, being here, and I think touched something within David Anspaugh even. So like I said, it just kind of, you know, it goes to show you, and Chris May, you know, from the Hall of Fame even said it, you know, in the story, that, you know, you take this stuff for granted until you see, you know, a guy like Javier and how important this is to him. And I think the cool thing, too, is his wife and two kids are with him, and they can now kind of understand, you know, what he's talking about when he tells them about these places. And I think it probably bores them to death sometimes about, you know, wanting to be in Indiana or watching the movie 50 times like he has. But I think they understand now, and that's a cool from a family standpoint to see that too, that that they get it, and his teenage sons kind of understand why this is important to him, why this journey to Indiana, to the United States is so important to him. But yeah, really cool. It's been fun. It was more to it than I thought there would be, and turned out to be a fun story to write. And yeah, it's a subscription story on the Star website, and you know, we're obviously trying to get more subscribers, but fun, it was a lot of fun to write that and meet Javier, and I'm sure we'll keep in touch through emails like we have been. So I kind of have a new friend made along the way here. So that's cool.
Yeah, great work, Kyle, as always. What you guys put out is nothing short of amazing. And you have it's amazing. I think people assume that you are from Indiana because of your love for basketball and how thorough you are in covering some of the recruiting stuff, and of course the regular stuff, the high school season and the big games, and your pieces that Southern Indiana people, I've known you forever it seems, but Southern Indiana people really got familiar with your name, hopefully through this show, but also through some pieces and great coverage you had on Romeo Langford, really from a young age. But I think people probably surprised to know when I tell them you're not Indiana born and Indiana raised, but you sure have taken a liking and produced some great content. And I would encourage anybody to, for that very small subscription fee online, especially to check out that story. And if you're not a subscriber, to do so, it's worth no question, it's worth it.
Well, thanks so much, Matt. And like I said, I appreciate you having me on each week. And I you know, after being here about 11, 12 years, I kind of feel like I'm from here anymore, you know, and it feels like, you know, I've been so many places now, it feels that way. So, but I appreciate you saying that.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us always on Fridays. Kyle, we'll catch up with you again next week, and appreciate the time today.
Okay, thanks so much, Matt.
All right, Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us. And to close the program today, and we're going to do this between now and the start of high school football. Last night at Zaxby's, you've heard me talk about it for a couple weeks, we had all eight area high school coaches. We had some of the top players from the area as well. And really, for a 9 or 10 minute at most conversation with each area head coach, we learned an awful lot. We squeezed a lot into those segments last night. So I want to start today. We've got a little extra time here at the end of the show, which is not something we always have, but I want to replay some of the coaches' interviews from our program last night. If you didn't get to make it out to Zaxby's or you didn't get to listen, we've got Jeffersonville coach Isaac Parker, first-year coach, but a really neat guy. He's a detective, a lieutenant in the detectives division of the Jeffersonville Police Department. So what a cool connection to the high school and the community that he has in a dual role as the head football coach at Jeffersonville High School. So he's who we're going to play today, and then we'll fit some others in from some of the schools in the immediate area that you might be most interested in hearing from between now and the start of the season. Then, of course, once the season gets here, we'll have a lot of coverage on the Big X of high school football, and it'll bleed over into this show as well. In fact, we have an announcement coming up Monday about a new addition to the Hoosier Report and the Big X that I hope you'll tune in for Monday morning to start things off. But for now, here's Isaac Parker, first-year coach of Jeffersonville football. This is about an 8-minute chat with him from last night at our 2019 High School Football Media Day at Zaxby's. Jeffersonville. Coach Parker is with us. Last year, the Red Devils 3-8. They last won a sectional championship back in 2007. And, Coach, you may be the new head coach of the Red Devils football program, but you are very familiar with Red Devils football. You are very familiar with Jeffersonville High School, and you're very familiar in your day job with the city of Jeffersonville, and it's great to have you here with us at Zaxby's tonight.
Appreciate that, Coach. Thank you.
Let's start off. You've got some familiarity with the program, so you don't come in unknown to everything and the processes and the administration at Jeff High School, but there's a big difference from the assistant coaching position to the head coach, and I've always heard there's a lot more heat is the number one thing once that season gets going. What have been the differences so far through the off season, through the summer, and now that practices have officially began?
The administrative responsibilities that, you know, that I wasn't familiar with before I just got to focus on coaching the kids, coaching the position I was responsible for, which was the offensive line. You know, the administrative responsibilities are the big change. But with that being said, is I have a really solid staff. I'm really pleased with the staff that we have. A lot of coaching experience, both at the head coaching level and the assistant coaching level, coordinator level. It's been a smoother transition, I think, than if my staff wasn't as experienced.
Absolutely. Coach, when we look at it, three coaches, 3 years at Jeff High School, it looks like a terrible situation for the players and so on, but your being there through part of that time or all of that time certainly makes the transition easier for the players. They know you, they know who you are, they know what you're all about. That should make it easier.
It was easier for, I think, both of us. You know, the fact that I was familiar with them, they were familiar with me. Jeffersonville is full of a bunch of good young men. Our numbers are back up. They were down quite a bit last year, but I'll tell you, we're flirting with right around 100 football players at all three JV, freshman, and varsity. And it's a good group of young men. So it's been easier for me that way as well.
Isaac Parker, he's first-year Jeffersonville coach, and he's with us here at 2019 High School Football Media Day here at Zaxby's. Another big change for Jeffersonville football, and really this affects the area, and I like it because it puts us into a good situation for postseason, is the Red Devils, at least for now, are back in 5A, which puts you with New Albany and Floyd Central and Bedford North Lawrence, all rivals in the Hoosier Hills Conference as well. Talk a little bit about the drop in class, how that happened, how it could maybe just be a temporary thing, and what you think that changes for the Red Devils this year as you already thinking as you enter the season about postseason. That's what we play it for.
Absolutely. The big change for us, of course, is that we did drop to 5A, so, you know, our in-conference competition during sectionals makes it a little bit more appealing, a little bit more fun, a little more exciting. We'll be familiar with them. They'll be familiar with us. In the past, since I've been here, since 15, we've traveled to Indianapolis to play games. We've traveled to Columbus to play games. We have a good fan base, but this definitely adds a lot more excitement to it. You know, we are planning to make some noise this year.
Coach, I look down your schedule, and you've got Columbus East, of course, in the Hoosier Hills Conference coming in. And then it's not tough enough with all of the other schools in the Hoosier Hills Conference. You're going to go to Indianapolis and play Cathedral. So you guys have a loaded schedule throughout this 2019 season.
I don't think we catch a break much, throughout the season. We open up with Fern Creek, and, you know, we're going to take it one game at a time. That's our goal, is take it one game at a time. Our first was let's win summer. Let's win the summer workouts. Let's win June. You know, let's break it down at each one. So, you know, that step one was win June. Let's show up. Let's work hard. And the kids have bought in. The kids have really poured their heart. They've really worked extremely hard. It's nice to have the experienced coaching staff that we have, and the support from the administration, the support from Mr. Satterley, the AD, Ms. Strait, the principal, as well as Mr. Loffner. You know, a lot of people have made contact to us. A lot of people from the community have reached out, and it makes everything a lot easier.
Talking with Isaac Parker, first-year head coach at Jeffersonville, joining us tonight on High School Football Media Day here at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville. I mentioned this in the intro to you, and I want to talk about it a little bit because, yes, you're familiar with the Jeff program as an assistant, and, yes, you're now the head coach, but I think that this is a really unique thing. You're not a teacher. You are a police officer in the city of Jeffersonville, and I think that is an outstanding connection to the high school and the football program, one that you'd like to see other officers, whether it be an assistant or a volunteer even, get involved in their local community. Talk about how you juggle those jobs and also tell us what your role is in the city of Jeff on the police force.
I'm a lieutenant in the detective division at the police department. When I first decided I was going to apply, I reached out to the chief of police, Chief Cavanaugh. And I, you know, explained to him I had an idea, just interest of mine, to see if he was supportive. And immediately he was supportive. And Mayor Moore was extremely supportive. And the police department as a whole has been supportive. A lot of our police department's made up of Jeffersonville graduates. A lot of players played for Coach Bill Ware, you know, at Jeffersonville, who's also on my staff as a off-the-field advisor. So it was a pretty easy sell. I mean, they again, became extremely supportive of that. I'm grateful for it.
Coach, first of all, thanks for serving. We appreciate
serving
with the police department and keeping everybody safe. Secondly, let's give a little bit of shout-out to the assistant coaches that are there on the sideline helping you.
Absolutely.
These guys, key part of any coaching staff.
Absolutely. Coach Bill Ware, again, when I was going into my interview, I sat in the parking lot of Jeff High, and Coach Ware was my football coach, and that guy was he was full of excitement and enthusiasm. And I tell you, I walked in the interview extremely pumped up. I felt good. from talking to Coach Greer. He still hasn't doesn't miss a beat. So it was nice to it's nice to have him there. Coach Cardwell actually was my offensive line coach while I was there. Coach Jimmy Cardwell, who also works for the city. He'll be our offensive coordinator. He does a great job. Again, he's familiar with the kids. He's coached in the community, I think, for the last 30 years. Coach Josh Schindler is a former Jeff High football player, played some college football as well down in Campbellsville. He's been around for the last 3 or 4 years at Jeff as well. So, you know, it's we've got a really good staff. Coach Dustin Leonard, Coach Taylor Magnuson. You know, we did something a little different this year, too, which I'm sure has been in the media. I'm sure people have seen that. We hired Jeffersonville's first female coach, Coach Erica Hurd. Amazing asset to our program. I mean, she's full of excitement, full of energy, and just a really good fit for us.
And that was first-year Jeffersonville football coach Isaac Parker from last night at Zaxby's. You can find the full show on podcast at SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Have a great Friday. Anthony Leal decides at 4:30 today. We'll be back Monday to talk about it all. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.